Well, I think Brother Gary Herring would be very proud. Maybe the Lord let him kind of lean over the banister of heaven and say, your daughter's fixing to play and sing down there tonight at Landmark. And that was real good. We appreciate it, Wendell, very much. We're getting ready here for the Bible lesson. God allowed Brother Gary Herring to come and work in our college. He actually retired the pastorate. He did a great job, and a lot of our students and others gained a lot. And he was a great man of God, preacher, Bible teacher, and wisdom of counsel that he shared with so many of us. Open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs tonight. Why don't you go to Proverbs chapter 11 to start with. We've been teaching chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I'm going to deviate just a little bit tonight. And we'll take it in Proverbs chapter 11 with what looks like bad news to us tonight. Looks like that it seems so absurd that America would make the trade it seems like we're about to make to go into deep, dark socialism. I was kind of proud of Florida, though. Proud of the Spanish folks down in South Florida. They said, we don't know Cuba moving in down here, and we left that. And so Florida did well. And things could change. I'm going to talk to you just a little bit about it. Somebody turned me in a real estate bulletin tonight. You can't see it from back there. It's a sign on a green yard that says, for sale, USA, call Hunter Biden at 1-800-I-KNOW-JOE. Well, folks, we're not happy about it, but how many of you understand God is just as powerful now as he was this morning, last night, last week, amen? Better keep that in mind. Don't drag our bottom lip. God could have a purpose we don't yet understand. You have to trust the Lord with things like that. I'm looking in, we've been going chapter by chapter and verse by verse in Proverbs, but I'm going to jump over to chapter 11 and just pick up the first verse, and I'm going to move over to chapter 16, and it's kind of interesting. Chapter 16, verse 11. 16:11. Anyway, Proverbs 11:1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And now let's flip on over to chapter 16 and pick it up with me in about verse 11. Says, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are in his work, and that's a reference back to Leviticus, I think, about Leviticus 25. What the verse is telling us, God loves fairness. He hates unfairness. Most every little kid, I mean, it's born in every kid to want things to be fair. One of the things you parents remember is one of the first, almost after they could say mom or dad, they could say that's not fair, right? And it just was born in. And a sense of injustice is a hard thing to fix. Did you know that? It really is. It cuts deep. And that's why in the American prudent system, I'm going to cough at you some. Just if you've been around me, I've been coughing at you for 50 years, so don't get excited about it tonight, amen? But anyway, we've all seen the picture of Lady Justice with the balances, blindfolded, right? Now, what's that supposed to mean? It's supposed to mean she's not biased either way. And she's not looking at who this side is and who that side is, but what is right. And that's correct. That's the way that it ought to be. Sadly, we moved, and this is not just true with America now, it's been true with America at different times, it's true with all nations. Unfairness is often found in rulership, in power, in government, in leaders, quite often. No doubt about that, you find it in your Bible. Now, as we think on the election, I know you want me to say a few things about it, and it'd be easy enough to say a lot. I'm not trying not to say too much. Looks like right now tonight, maybe Pennsylvania is in the balance as to whether or not. I don't know how it's going to go. It's looking kind of bad. And I'm always amazed when I watch the returns on an election, how the different ones make the different calls at certain times and all that business. But what it looks like right now is we might know who the president is by Christmas. Now, I'm joking, but they're going to keep counting. They're going to keep counting. They've done that in the past. And I'm going to talk just a touch about that. But sad truth is that now the Supreme Court probably have to get into it, and there's no telling which way it may twist or turn or whatever it is. There was some announcements being made before even the election by... in Pennsylvania and some of the other places where the governor and the attorney general, is Pennsylvania in particular, that said when all the votes are counted, Pennsylvania will go for Mr. Biden and he'll win the election. Now, how could they say that 3 days before the voting? Because somebody had already been in the back room. Somebody had already looked behind the curtain. Somebody already knew how many bags was back there waiting to be trotted out when they were needed. You say, well, that couldn't happen. It's happened in a bunch of elections. You're looking at somebody that's old enough to go back. In fact, I got my picture made with a beautiful girl the night that Nixon and Kennedy was debating, and it's still hanging in our house. That's my wife. And we was watching black and white TV in the lobby where we were having our picture made when those two men were debating that night. Now, some of you, if you'll go way back, there was a whole bunch of disturbance over that election and almost so many of them since. Now, there's a practice. And when Trump and his team and others warned about what was going to happen, they pretty well right, it is happening. Here's the way it works. And I'll explain it to you. It's still working. It's been working since even before the Kennedy-Nixon election. It's been working probably as far back as Al Capone in Chicago. As far back as when the mobsters rigged the elections. And here's the way they rigged them. They let it appear to be a fair vote until they saw what the score was. They always saved in reserve enough to come and topped the ballots the way they wanted it topped. Now, that's pretty well provable. I've talked to pastors in Chicago who had people that worked in Mayor Daley's office in Chicago. I've walked through the cemetery myself up there where Billy Sunday and some other great men are buried, cemetery big as Haines City is, and know the story of personnel in the mayor's office that said every election, especially every presidential election, but every big election, the high schoolers came out with their notepads, came, picked them up out of the mayor's office, went through the cemetery and wrote all the dead people's names and addresses down. And they got $5 for every name they come back and turned in. And all those folks voted every year. Yeah. Now, that's been going on for a long time. But now here's the way the thing works. If they get stored up ballots, and it's an interesting thing right now, they don't want folks to see if the signatures match. Something strange there. But if they've got stuffed bags of paper ballots in reserve, and they bring them out when they need to tip the scales. That's the crookedness that's been going on ever since Al Capone's day. And they... Chicago races and all of that business. And a lot of folks up there give you testimony about that. And they've always got just some more they can happen to find and bring in and count. Now, we all hate trickery. We all want things to be fair. And God says he hates an unjust balance. So where is God? He's where he always was. Here's the truth. God hates a lot of stuff that he lets men do to men. They will pay for the consequences later in this life and in the life to come. Because God hates a thing, he don't stop it from being done. Because he says it's wrong, he don't stop it from being done. But somebody pays the consequences for doing it. And in this particular situation right now, we hate the trickery and all of that. All this bad stuff that's going on. There's a lot at stake. Freedoms are at stake. Future service of the Lord's at stake. His church, his ministries, things like we have. Radio ministry, Christian Day School. I was listening to a very knowledgeable person this morning talking about the terrible brainwashing and philosophy that's being put on our kids in the public colleges and universities to knock the faith of God out of them if they can. And how crooked and biased it is. And this was a person that really, really knew. And they said the biggest hope in America right now was Christian schools, homeschools, and Christian curriculum. Because the curriculum that is going forth otherwise is a practiced, polished, deceitful setup to destroy the philosophy of the kids. If a kid was raised in a Christian home in a good church like this, parents taught them to live right, live the Christian life, maybe even to tithe and support missions and all that. But when they get to these places of so-called higher learning, I call it lower learning, they get to those places, they have that mocked out of them and have it replaced. Now, you've heard me use this example, and it's a little bit, it's really simple, but you can kind of catch on it just a little bit. We spoke of it before as Hegel's dialectic. Now, that's a little bit of a tricky word, but here's all it is. Can you picture a triangle in your mind? Can you? Pointed top, come down, 2 points, top. Can you picture that? The philosophy of government, Marxism, that leads into communism and the overthrow of the common man, is what's happened in this election. It's what happens in all across the world when governments are deceived by this. Because of man's depravity and his greed and his covetousness and his fallen nature, he falls for this every time. It's the trick of the con man. Do you ever read in the newspaper where you say, how in the world could those folks fall for that con? I'll tell you how they fell for it. They thought they were going to gain something by it. Sad. I've read things. I thought, how could somebody be that stupid? Some guy's on the street corner, and a guy comes and says, I just found this bag of money. Hold it for me. Until I get back. But just in case you might be dishonest, give me some of your money as a guarantee you're going to hold it. You say nobody would fall for that. They fall for that all the time. And they wound up giving real money for no money. Oh, there's some really... But you know, why does that work? Because man's depraved. He thinks he's forgetting something for nothing. So when it comes to socialistic government taking over free people, same old con. Same old con. Salesmen use it on us all the time. Let me see if I can halfway explain it. I've explained it to you before. Think about the triangle for a minute. We'll call 1 point over here. We'll call that a thesis. The other point, we'll call an antithesis. Then we'll go up to the point right here, and we'll call that a synthesis or thesis. Now, you got three things, 3 points. All right, this point opposes this point. This is where the evil bunch comes in and crooks people. They find factions among populations. It might be race. It might be education. It might be wealth. And they get them disagreeing. And they get them, now the manipulators don't care who wins. They don't care about either party. All they want is a conflict. So they start the conflict. But then they say, now we got the solution, and we'll go up to the high point of the triangle. We've got the solution up here. We'll all settle for this. And what happens when they settle for that? They've been had. They both lost what they did have to start with. Now, what'll happen if free a government like America is overthrown in the name of socialism? Factions were used against each other. The synthetic answer is vote for me and get me in, and we're going to give you a free house or give you a free car or something else. Don't tell you that you're fixing to lose your real freedom. Now, that's all. It goes on. It repeats. By the way, as soon as that one triangle is done, they do another one and another one. If you'll study a little Marxism, if you'll study a little bit going all the way back to Karl Marx and how that he was able to parade this and how it worked on so many different people, you'll find out what's going on. Now, the American government was a grand experiment that God instituted. It was based on something different, not greed. It was based on God's morals and values and his word. It's held up pretty good, 244 years or something. And but it's in great trouble tonight. No doubt about that. But we are still young compared to nations. Did you know that? Somebody said, America, you're too young to die. Well, nobody's too young to die. But it is sad and seemingly absurd that we'd sell our soul so quick for a mess of pottage and be deceived so quickly and so easy as we have. A lot is at stake, no doubt about it. And yet I want us to think about it a little different as a church. We are different. We're not a world government. How many of you have always understood this world was not your home? Right? We're just passers through. Now, it wouldn't matter if Mr. Trump won and all the good guys won. This still is not home. This place is still a place of imperfection. It'd be a place of deceit and fakery right on. Now, we are admonished by God to choose good over evil. And that's what we try to do, and that's what we've been trying to do. I said a while ago, I was proud of Florida. I'm proud of our church. I'm proud of our county. I'm proud of our community. Say, but you were on the losing side. Oh, no. Oh, no, I'm on the winning side, no matter who they call president, because I stood for what was right. Amen? So don't let the world bluff you out there at all. And yes, as a church, we're different. Do you know the church has survived insurmountable odds through history? Its demise has been predicted many, many times by the wrong side and the devil's side, but it's still here. It's still here. In fact, I wish it wasn't so, but it does seem to be so that sometimes it takes persecution to wake up the church. Do you know this thing right now could alert us? And if it alerts us in the right way, it'll alert us to do a better job, to see our time is more precious, to see the importance of the job we are doing right now. And so I've said it so many times, the scripture says that God can make good out of evil. Sure he can. And so the church has survived beastly governments, and isn't it interesting when you read your Bible how that governments in the Bible are called beasts. Read the book of Revelation. They're called beasts. Read the book of Daniel. They're called beasts. I've often said this, if you look at every emblem of every nation, what symbolizes that nation, it's not a thing of peace, it's a thing of war. For instance, what symbolizes Russia? Bear. I don't want to meet a bear unless he's got a behind in a cage somewhere, right? So that's a ferocious beast. England, a lion. How about that? America, a fighting eagle. Dangerous eagle. What's that saying? It's saying every symbol of every nation is a ferocious type beast. That shows you our relationship to this old world and to God. Now, the difference is, as a Christian nation, we were outstanding in history, and bad things are happening, a big part of it, because we are at war with the devil. Big time war with the devil, no doubt about it. And the truth of the matter is, though, the church has survived before. Now, here's the kind of preaching you're going to hear from us around here. I wish Mr. Biden somehow, by a miracle of God, would lose tonight. But God may can make good out of him winning. I don't know. God's still in charge. So you're going to hear me preach, let's pick up our sword and keep fighting. You're going to hear me preach, let's do the job we're supposed to do that's the most important of all jobs. Amen? And we're not going to go around saying, woe is me, I'm through, I'm whipped. Oh, no. Who was it? John Paul Jones said, I just begun to fight. Well, when we talk about fighting the good fight of faith, we've just begun to fight. And I'll say this. You're going to hear me repeat some of this probably Sunday. But what good could come out of this? Well, it could wake up some folks. It could even wake up some Christians to say, I may not have as long left to serve God as I thought I had. Things might be wrapping up faster than I even thought. And it could even inspire us to reach more souls than we would have otherwise. Now, I read a text that says God hates the unjust stuff, the unfair stuff. And I know that. It don't matter if it seems to be winning. God's not overlooked it. He hadn't changed his mind. He hadn't switched sides. He's still saying what is right and wrong. So I'm only saying this to you on a Wednesday night as we don't know how the thing is going to finally turn out, looking pretty bad right now. But do you ever hear the little song, I'm a winner either way? We are. In Jesus, we are winners either way. So we're not going to trip over our bottom lip. We're not going to say, woe is me. We believe we did right, and if I had to deal with it, I'd do it just the same way again. Wouldn't change a thing. And I believe that's the right way. But we may have to somewhat, I hope not, we may have to fly a little bit under the radar. We may see the radio station be threatened before too long about being careful about what we say. We may find a squeeze being put on the freedoms we have to have a Christian school and a few other things. That could well happen. But there's another positive side to it, too. America, in its greatness, in years past, from the Constitution on, our forefathers was wise enough to set up checks and balances. And while they have, a lot of them been destroyed, they're not all destroyed. And even in this election, there's still some good people being returned to office that will fight and stand for what is right. Now, what they'll need is you and I to pray for them and to stand every way we can, strong and right. So let's don't go to bed tonight and say, woe is me, Lord, I don't want to wake up in the morning. Well, if you know the Lord Jesus, that's not the right attitude. Right attitude is God's still in charge. He's still on the throne. We can still trust him. Amen. All right, let's stand, please. Brother Bert, do we have choir practice?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. Getting ready. Getting ready for Sunday. God was good to us. Gave us a great Sunday last Sunday, and we praise the Lord for it. Father, we commit it all to you. We know you're in charge. We know, Father, that thy will be done. That's all we ask. And may you bless us to be your people, to keep on serving you every way and take advantage of every opportunity you give us to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus. And we thank you in his precious name. Amen.